WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It's positively all-star break, all-star week, pre-Raven reporting week. You'll start to see players back golfing and signing autographs and getting themselves all sort of tucked in. No more days of checking into the Best Western up in Westminster, although I'll be heading up to Rock Salt Grill for a crab cake. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road beginning on August 1st. We're going to be doing 31 crab cakes in 31 days. Lots of shows, lots of crab cake tour stops, sitting, talking to people. We're going to have an election this week, and you've been listening to that at Baltimore Positive here taking place. So we'll have some winners, some losers, some residue, and a pennant race in an honest-to-God football season and sort of something normal on the outsides of COVID. And we're looking forward to getting everybody out. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some scratch-offs. I have a few around here. I got the some Show Me $10,000 scratch-offs we'll be giving away. Our friends at Window Nation always have great offers. One of them is that I am not a certified master installer, even though my shirt says so. We'll be telling you about that. And they're installing my windows here shortly, a couple weeks away right now. So we're looking forward to that, as well as our friends at Goodwill and the Restaurant Association of Maryland, reminding everybody Restaurant Week is coming up in September. There is a Restaurant Week in the city. Come back to the city, support the city. And then we're going to do it all over the state in September. Luke, I think, is going to get a crab cake or two. He prefers the pizza down in Wildwood to all of this. Dude, you went away for vacation and they literally didn't lose the whole time you were gone. You come back and, you know, they scuffle a little bit here. But as we enter into this, and I just want to say this, I've released Purple Rain 1. I'm about to release Purple Rain 2. I've released my crab cake tour. And maybe I'll go back and revisit my ballpark tour from 15 at some point. I'm going to do the Peter Principles in early September, just re-releasing everything on our new platform at Baltimore Positive. I feel like we have a different audience, bigger audience. People have never seen any of this stuff. But more than that, sort of the 3.0 lift of what I've tried to do in my own world, sort of the Orioles are coming, the Ravens are coming, and I don't want to say the plague's over, but we are behaving in some level of a normal environment from a business standpoint, a sports standpoint, kids going to school shortly in a couple of weeks, summer's on, you're having fun. I got friends all, everybody's in Greece but me this summer, I think, and Dennis Kolatsos as well. But Luke, we have some normalcy here that from a sports fan perspective, all-star game, you know, games are going on. We had a soccer game that had 35,000 people downtown over the weekend. There is a little bit of a heartbeat about all of this. And for the first time, the Orioles are relevant again. And, you know, I applaud all of that. The pick of the young man from Oklahoma and Stillwater on Sunday night and all of that. But moving forward, I'm looking to see when Nasty Nestor is going to be towing the rubber at Camden Yards, because I may come down. I was a block away. I was at Babe Ruth Museum all day Saturday, greeting and meeting baseball fans and people that really had a bounce in their step because of the way the baseball teams play.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, we're talking about the Orioles in terms beyond who they took first overall, Jackson Holliday, which you and I have discussed and is exciting, and other players are going to add to their pipeline. But when you go into the All-Star break at 46-46 in a season where going into it, I almost felt a little overly optimistic simply because I didn't pick them to lose 100 games. I think I picked them to go 65-97.
You know, you can bet on that. I just want to point that out. So,
we have
casinos. You could have felt really good about them doing this, and then you would have been like, where's Rodriguez? What happened to him? What happened to him in Norfolk? Like, there was all of these moments where it wasn't supposed to be this way. And this is when it's the most fun.
No question about it. And that's the thing. You and I talked about this a little bit last week when we were kind of breaking down the 10-game winning streak before they went down to St. Petersburg and lost 2 out of 3, which, you know, nothing to panic over. I mean, you're talking about a team that's won 11 of 13 going into the All-Star break and is right there with a number of other teams in this 3-team wild card situation that you now have with the expanded playoff field. But it's fun. And you have a team that has not had everything go right by any stretch of the imagination. You mentioned, you know, Grayson Rodriguez, John Means having Tommy John surgery. You know, some of their other young pitchers like Kyle Bradish and Bruce Zimmerman haven't exactly, totally taken advantage of their opportunities. So you see that. And if someone tells you that before the season and then, oh, yeah, they're 46-46. But at the same time, you're not really getting a career season from anyone at the plate. I mean, you had some guys like Ramon Urias has come on here late, but you know, he hit pretty well last year in a very anonymous kind of fashion. But you know, you're not getting career years from Cedric Mullins or Trey Mancini or even Ryan Mountcastle. They've had solid seasons, you know, and Mullins has scuffled a little more than you'd like. But the point is,
get hot here in the second half and hit 325, and you know this, and Rutschman really takes effect and is the hitter we think he can be. Look, I'm talking optimistically about them, and this isn't like we're not filming Major League here today, right? I mean, this is real what we're seeing. But then the pitching has to come. That's the thing that concerns me. I'm okay with the lineup, and I think they'll have bats. I'm worried about arms.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And more specifically, the starting pitching. I mean, the bullpen has done a phenomenal job, and it's been a real credit to them that, you know, the blend of waiver claims with some young pitchers that have come up through their system. You know, Felix Bautista has been a great story. I mean, we talked about the fact that he was at single A at the beginning of last season, and he's been their eighth inning setup man this year, and he's done a hell of a job doing that. But you know, you do look at the starting rotation and what happened in the Rays series, a little bit of a warning flag there. Not so much that I think that there's impending doom, but just the reality of, you know, Tyler Wells is going to be on an innings limit. You know, we saw him not be able to get out of the inning on over the weekend, and you know, which is fine. You know, he's a young kid who's been their best starting pitcher. And then Jordan Lyles on Sunday just didn't have it. I mean, he got knocked around. It was pretty ugly. You know, it's rare for him to not be able to get out of the third inning. So, I mean, it was a credit to the club that they made it interesting at the end. But you know, you look at that, you look at how much they've leaned on Tyler Wells. You know, Jordan Lyles will continue to be that innings eater for them if he doesn't get traded at the deadline, which I'm not saying he will, but you know, you never know what's going to happen here over the next couple of weeks. But you do look at that rotation, and yes, DL Hall had another phenomenal outing at AAA Norfolk on Sunday. You do wonder when he's going to get the call. Is it going to be right after the break? Is it going to be a couple more starts at Norfolk? But he's on the come in that way. But you're hoping, you know, Kyle Bradish, Bruce Zimmerman, can one of those guys get back on track and be part of the major league rotation? Because you know, it's a real credit to Spencer Watkins and Austin Both, but are those guys going to continue to give you functional competitive outings the way that they have? And that's where it is tough at looking at this thing. But I would say this, if there's an argument to be made, and you already talked about the pitching or the hitting side of this, you know, there's very much some room for some of these guys to get going. Adley Rutschman, who has swung the bat really well since his first 2.5 weeks in the big leagues. I mean, go look at what he's done since about the first week of June, and he's raked, you know, doubles machine. But even if we acknowledge there's some room for some improvement from a hitting standpoint with some of these guys in the second half of the season, the question is the pitching. But I would also say, Tampa Bay loses someone, you know, Harold Ramirez lost on Sunday already playing without Wander Franco. You know, I mean, Kiermaier's on the IL. I mean, they have a slew of injuries that the Rays are dealing with. Boston loses Chris Sale on Sunday. Toronto's fired their manager. You know, Cleveland and Chicago in the AL Central as wild card contenders. They're lying in the weeds right around the same record as the Orioles.
And then you have the Seattle Mariners, by the way, too, right?
No question. I mean, it's all relative, right, to expectations. But then you have the Seattle Mariners who, in very similar fashion to the Orioles, even though they had some higher expectations going into the season, got off to a really blast start, but they go into the All-Star break with a 14-game winning streak. And now you're looking at them as, you know, tied with Tampa for the top wild card spot as far as the American League shakes out at the All-Star break. So a lot of teams there. You know, that in and of itself makes it difficult when you're trying to handicap odds here as far as how plausible it is for the Orioles to hang in this thing and potentially be playing really interesting baseball in September. But you know, I just mentioned all those other teams other than Seattle right now. It looks like they're never going to lose again, but all those other teams are dealing with some form of adversity, and teams that are dealing with injuries and inconsistencies, fired manager in Toronto. So, you know, maybe as much as anything else, you look at that and say, well, why can't the Orioles continue to hang in it if those other teams are all dealing with their own questions, their own flaws? So we'll see how it plays out. But you mentioned Nasty Nestor. I mean, I think right out of the chute in the second half, the Orioles have 3 with the Yankees, 4 with Tampa Bay at home. I think those 7 games, and I wrote about this late last week at BaltimorePositive.com, including the Rays series that they just finished up at the Trop, losing 2 out of 3. But you know, you look at those 10 games, I think, you know, the optimists get mad about this because you say, well, you're just, you know, you keep laying out a new challenge. Well, if you want me to buy into the fact that they're 500 or they're, you know, above 500 team,
don't go 2-8 against the good teams.
Those games matter. I mean, that's just a reality. The games either matter or they don't. Right. So if I'm going to say that they matter and I'm going to buy in, and I've been saying to you since early May that, you know, this team's playing better, but how much better? How ready are they? And that's still up in the air, right? And a wild card, you know, a wild card race is not the end game here. It's really the beginning in terms of this team starting to turn the corner and looking more and more like a representative outfit, which they haven't looked like that for a long time. So, you know, I think these next 7 games coming out of the chute will tell us a lot. It'll tell us a lot in terms of what could or could not happen at the trade deadline. But the other thing here is, if you can go through this 7-game homestand and win a couple series, you know, dare I say, go 5-2, you know, at least go 4-3, and you're a game over 500. Then you have Cincinnati, Texas, Pittsburgh for the next 9 games. I mean, you're talking about losing teams there. So you've got a great opportunity. If you can get through these next 7 games, holding your own against the 2 top teams in the AL East, you've got a chance to maybe get into a position where you're moving to 4, 5, 6 games over 500 over the next 3 weeks. And that's regardless of what happens at the trade deadline, because, you know, as I said to you, when this winning streak started, for me, one of the biggest factors that could be, you know, reflective of showing improvement and thinking about it from a big picture standpoint that could also help them right now is promoting some of these young guys, calling up a DL Hall. It could be calling up a Kyle Stowers, depending on what happens with Trey Mancini or Anthony Santander. I mean, you know, none of these guys on the current major league roster, other than Rutschman, other than Mountcastle, you know, guys that have years of club control, guys that are projected to be a part of their long-term plans. But when you're looking at Santander, you're looking at Mancini, I mean, these aren't like, you know, MVP candidate kind of players. So that's why I've said, you know, keep your eyes open and your ears open for any potential deals. You know what? You could deal one of those guys, but you might get something back that is helping you, not just now, but what I'm more interested in, 2023 and beyond. So there's a way to be a little bit of a buyer and a seller at the same time, depending on what the deals are. But in the meantime, you know, you've got guys at AAA, you know, whether it's, you know, DL Hall on the pitching side, Kyle Stowers in the outfield, Jordan Westberg, you know, Gunnar Henderson. I don't know if they'll start the clock just yet for him, but, you know, if he can, if he's doing the job at Norfolk and he's 21 years old, what are you waiting for? You know, at least get him acclimated that he can hit the ground running next year. You know, that's how I kind of view it. So they have some pieces here that they can add internally that could really give them a lift. And I'll remind everyone, you know, people have wanted to draw the comparisons to 2012, right? You know, a team that had no expectations going into the season. Well, who did they bring up in August of 2012? Manny Machado coming all the way up from Double A, and he wasn't the MVP candidate Manny Machado overnight, but he was a plus addition for them from day one. So not saying that any of these guys are going to be that, but I think there's a lot of factors, a lot of possibilities you can look to for this club to show improvement over the second half of the season, whether that equals a wild card berth or not. As I've said, I'm still looking at this through the lens of looking at things they can do now to put themselves in better position for 2023. And that's why I'd like to see some of these guys that are at AAA right now get the call at some point over the next 4 or 5 weeks to fit them in, to start, to add them to the mix of what they're doing. You know, it could be a Taron Vavra as a utility guy, guy's a, you know, high on base percentage guy at AAA for them right now, and probably projects as a utility guy in a big picture sense. So you know, there's lots of things they can do, but at the same time, I don't want to sell short anyone that is contributing for them right now and what they've been able to do at the major league level. So it's fun. You know, the fact that you and I are talking about this without it being a punchline right now, a week out, days out from the start of training camp. And look, Ravens are still king in this town. Once training camp starts, they're still going to take their, you know, rightful place. I don't even want to say rightful, it's just reality as far as kind of being king of the local sports scene. But the fact that we're still talking about the Orioles being relevant, being worth paying attention to moving forward, that's fun. And whether
well, here's
that
the
means-
problem. I can't figure out when Nasty Nestor's really pitching this week so I can get a ticket.
Yeah.
How are you going to bet on it? I'm looking at these games. They got no pitchers next to them. Hey, you could bet on the Ravens right now in a million different ways. That's why yeah. people like football. I'm learning this, you know? I mean, I don't have that Jones, but I am learning, you know, how this works. I just look to see, like, when's Nasty Nestor pitching? And I'm like, well, All-Star game, and how far? And, you know, like, they're in this weekend, and he might not pitch at all. And just like Ohtani didn't pitch here a couple weeks ago. So I'm biding my time. Good thing is, I know this, plenty of good seats will be available whenever I want to go for the Oriole game.
That's yeah. It. Yeah, I mean, and that's, we saw that in 2012 when they first got good again, right? I mean, we saw even in 2014 where, you know, they were still kind of middle of the pack in attendance. It takes time. I mean, it does. As much as you and I have argued about different elements of the rebuild and, you know, what was necessary, what wasn't necessary, what could they have done differently, when you're going through a period of not just bad baseball, like the 14 straight years of losing, but 108, 110, 115 lost seasons, it does extraordinary damage to your brand, which was a brand that, let's face it, wasn't exactly healthy to begin with, you know, before they went into these last 5 years. So it's going to take some time. But what I think is exciting, and we talked about this with the series against the Angels last weekend, was you are having some people that aren't necessarily coming back to the ballpark just yet, but they're coming back in terms of paying attention to it. And that's the first step. And that's where, as an organization, they need to be able to capitalize with, you know, they're having a Cedric Mullins bobblehead in a couple of weeks, and they're having the 30th anniversary celebration of Camden Yards, and, you know, they have other giveaways. They have flash sales and ticket deals. They need to keep doing that stuff and doing more of that, and that needs to continue. This can't just be a case of, oh, Adley Rutschman's here and DL Hall might be here next week and, you know, go down the list.
$40 get in and walk around for 2 months, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's the standing room only general admission, but hey, you can get in the ballpark and it's a good deal. It's smart. I mean, it really is. And the reality is that's not just an Orioles
that's
thing.
That's all my dad and I would have needed.
Right. But that's,
you know,
not,
I mean,
just
like if my kid and I right now wanted to like get into the Orioles a little bit, give them $40 this month or next month. My kid now say, let's 4 nights here. We'll go down there and we'll get Amici's one night and we'll go over to Ekebin and we'll support our friends down Sobo down. And, you know, we'll go down to Mother's and have a drink before the game. Like that. I don't know what they can do. And I remember when I met you 15 years ago, they're doing those Ollie's nights and it's $4. And when those nights were empty, when I would see 11,000 people there for the Twins on a Tuesday night, it was an Ollie's, I'm like, people just don't want to come. Yeah. And now the challenge is, and I went through this with Dennis last week, Squeegee Boys, murders, carjackings, murders, Fox 45, parking, price, $15 beer, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. What's going to get me down there? Well, certainly not, quite frankly, shitty baseball, right? I mean, got to be better than that. Well, they fixed that. All right, so now that's fixed. Well, then there's, well, what's the price point? How much is it going to cost me to go? And for me, the general admission thing of walking around there, dude, if Angelos didn't own the team, swear to God, I would do it. I would give them $80. I'd swipe my credit card right now, and I would come down and figure out what night that Kenny Ballgame's going to be there, or you're going to be there. I'd wave to you. And I would go down there a couple of times, but you know, I even passed their sales booth at Accelerant last week and the dudes still treat me like not allowed to talk to him. If I link in with him, you know, like there's still all of this nonsense that goes on with them. But like, I would be a guy going to games in August and September because I'm interested in them again. I'm interested in what they're selling. I don't know at what price point or who I can get to go with me or what experience I'll have. I'm certainly not going to give them $40 to go down and sit in the upper deck and watch a game. You know, I'm not doing that.
Sure.
But because I'm just not ethically, I'm not, for all the reasons that the last 16 years on the air would say, but I'm going to be interested in seeing who's taking advantage of that because it really is a, not for me, but for everybody else. It's an olive branch. It's an olive branch at this point to say, come down and sniff it again. Because the old man never would have signed off on this. And mama must not know about it.
Well,
because they've never offered a deal this good.
Well, I mean, they did start the kids cheer free thing a few years back. I mean, that was a good initiative as well. And you know, it kind of gets swallowed up with the pandemic, but they're still doing that, by the way. But so much of this, and we've talked about this in a bigger sense with sports, not just the Orioles, but you know, the Ravens, any team in any market, fans want more flexibility now, right? I mean, you don't want to be in a position where you're locked into having full season tickets and you got to get rid of these tickets. You can't go to this game. You know, I mean, now you're seeing more of these elements like what the Orioles are doing here. If you look around at other places and including places where the team's pretty good, you're seeing more of this where, okay, you lay down a certain financial commitment and then you have the options to, you know, choose your games, you know, whatever you want to do, you can exchange, you know, you're seeing much more flexibility in that way. Flexibility is key. I mean, I think I've said this to you before. I mean, a buddy of mine who right out of college, we would always get Raven season tickets off, you know, StubHub, eBay, whatever. I've never had the licenses for them, but for years after I got into the media, he still had season tickets going about it that way, but he's now married and has two kids. I mean, he doesn't have the time to be a full season ticket holder. So now it's much more a case of looking at the secondary market and he picks out the two games he wants to go to, the three games he wants to go to, and figures it out that way. So, I mean, as time goes on and there's more and more, you know, whether we're talking about TV, whether we're talking about different viewing options, you know, we talked about that for years. It's all about trying to make your product easily accessible and being very flexible in doing that. And I think the more and more you can do that, and oh yeah, the product needs to be good, and the Orioles are moving in the right direction
in
that regard.
So where were you in Wildwood 2 weeks ago? Could you watch the Orioles on the phone on the beach?
I could, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
out of market, but you can't do that in Middle River.
Well, I mean, you have to have your subscription. I mean, I have a Masson subscription, but with my cable provider, and you know, I was able to stream it on my phone that way. So you can do that. You just have to, in market streaming, you have to be subscribed via, you know, your cable, your satellite, whatever it is. MLB TV, which as I've talked about, is a great product, but that's the one where if you're in your home market, that gets blacked out. So that's the next thing for Major League Baseball to tackle. And I know Rob Manfred, you know, we're All-Star Week. I know he recently talked about blackouts. You know, that's something that I'm sure will come up in his State of the Game press conference this week out in Los Angeles. But you know,
it's a great week for baseball, by the way, right? In that
it
way,
is.
Right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you and I talked about it, and I didn't get a chance to
figured this
to
out.
Mention
they got the
it,
draft right in the middle of all
the draft was nice.
They're
yeah.
getting their ish together, kind of. So they're making me stand up and say, I've loved baseball all my life. I was at a baseball card show on Saturday looking at baseball cards from the last 100 years, talking to baseball people in the friggin' house where Babe Ruth was born. Right. So, you know, I mean, we got baseball here, you know, like yeah. I want baseball. But what this last 5 years and really what the last 30 years of promise for Camden Yards, what it should have represented. I mean, Angelo's put the Sports Legends Museum out of business, you know, so like and I'm sitting in the Babe Ruth house that my wife went to Sports Legends looking for me. Yeah. Swear to God, you know, like literally. And this was the day that the garage collapsed down at the Hyatt. I mean, we had a shooting and a garage collapse in my neighborhood that I lived in the last 20 years. And, you know, it's incumbent upon people like me to get people back downtown and get people to the ballpark. But they got to do their part. They got to do their part. And, yeah. and you know what I mean? They do. They really do.
No question about
it's
it.
Time.
And yeah, that's completely fair.
For all of these baseball owners. I mean, I watched those games in Tampa over the weekend, and I'm thinking, why do they have a team there? You know what I mean? Like, every time I see it, I'm like, what could it take to get enthusiasm there? They say outdoor baseball. People are going to sit out there and bake and sit through rain delays? I don't believe that.
I think it would – if it's going to work there, if it's ever going to work there, and I'm not convinced it will, but if it is – it's because you know, you need a stadium that's more easily accessible to Tampa. I mean, people don't want to go that far. You know, I mean, that's, and I don't know the layout of the land perfectly, but that's what everyone talks about. You
but
know,
the idea that it's, when people would come up from where my mother-in-law lives down yeah. in Sarasota. I mean, it's a baseball community. There's baseball fields every, you know, it's not like this is a yeah. lacrosse community now. It really much more than a baseball community. It's a lacrosse community, Baltimore down there. They play baseball. I mean, they have Latin kids. They play baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, there's, There are a lot of things that the sport needs to work on. You know, there are things that they're getting better with.
They've had 30 years in Florida, and they've screwed it up with both of them, right? Literally, right?
Well, I would say at the very least, the Rays didn't hoodwink the local community into building them a new stadium in the way that the Marlins did. And we know how that's played out at the old site of the Orange Bowl. And, you know, that stadium's just a handful of years old and it's completely empty.
I took you down there. I dropped you off at the front door.
I enjoyed my time there.
I'm sure you had beautiful memories of your night net blimp.
I enjoyed being at an All-Star game, being at that, whatever that was. I mean, and it's, in all honesty, like, it's not a terrible stadium by any means, but first of all, baseball inside is just weird. And I understand the reality of it. It's smart for a team in Florida to at least have a retractable roof. There's no question about that, but it's just weird. And the biggest thing about that, and I happened to see the Phillies were down there over the weekend, you know, down in Miami, and it's just empty. I mean, it's just always empty, and they've got some really interesting players. I mean, you know, one of the best pitchers in the National League. You know, they've got one of the best position players in Chisholm. I mean, they've always had
one of the best players in baseball. But, the time they've been here, right? Literally,
right.
They always had great players.
Well, and then they sell them off. That's the problem. You know, I mean, they're 43 and 48 at the All-Star break,
well,
and they'll sell off a couple
out on
guys.
A boat in the middle of, you know, well, literally, yeah. Too. That happened,
sure,
too.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've had tragedy and championships and legends and like all of that. And There's no there there. There literally is no there there. And yeah. And that's baseball has to face that too this week.
Sure.
While, you know, that Mike Trout's not a big enough star, and that Shohei Ohtani's not a big enough star, and that the sport itself is so old. And I don't know how that, I can't help them with that. I'm only going to get older and be one of the old people soon. Even if I get back on their train and they get a real leader here and they start front facing the community like they should have been doing the last three decades, even if they fixed everything, they're not looking for me. And they're not even looking for my kid at this point.
Well, and that's going to be the next show. I mean, the one area that they are young and getting younger is look at the talent around the league and look at what we're seeing there. I mean, not just here with the Orioles, but, you know, you look at some of the best players in the league or, you know, in their early 20s, in their mid 20s. I mean, and that's a good thing. As much as you're going to wave goodbye to Albert Pujols and, you know, Miguel Cabrera and some old guard type guys that, you know, that you always have, you know, you're always waving goodbye to players who've been around a long time, but you know, you've got some exciting young players. One thing I thought that was cool to see, some African-American players selected in the top five of the draft this year, multiple. So that's good to see, you know, a diversity in baseball is something that, you know, I've talked about a lot. Lots of people have talked about a lot as far as the
great
accessibility
with Dave
Sims
about that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, making the game accessible, making the game available to urban communities, to communities that don't have the same resources for some of these kids to get noticed. You know, Adam Jones talked about this years ago as far as some of the support he had along the way to go to some showcase events and get noticed that he wouldn't have had necessarily. So, you know, those are elements. You know, we talked about, I thought the draft was a good event, you know, in the way that they put it on. Look, the baseball draft's never going to be the NFL draft or even the NBA draft, which, you know, still for the most part, players drafted that you've watched, right? You know, if you watch college basketball, if you watch college football, you're aware of a large portion of the players. Baseball, you just don't have that as much. So what I did like to see, especially once they got beyond the first round, having former players. I mean, we saw Rick Dempsey go to the podium for the Orioles. We saw Rick Sutcliffe, Eric Davis, Raleigh Fingers for the A's, you know, going up there. And yeah, they're announcing someone that the fan base has never heard of before. But hey, you get a chance to see those guys and they get a chance to get their flowers out in L.A. And, you know, it looked like what a professional sports league draft should look like. So credit to baseball on that. Normally, I'm not crediting them on things like that. Normally, they do those things pretty poorly.
Well, it was always so apparent how far behind these old men running baseball had fallen behind the NBA 30 years ago. It's very obvious, right? And certainly the NFL over the last 15 years has put its foot down in everything marketing. Everything.
Yeah. I mean, the NFL's king and all that. I mean, the fact that the NFL has such PR problems and is still king by such a wide margin. Yeah. You know, I don't know if anything's ever going to compete with that again, but it is good to see baseball taking some steps with some of these elements. They have a long way to go. There's no question about that. And I don't just mean the Orioles, but, you know, the sport in and of itself, you know, across the board, but, you know, it's, you know, they're, it was a fun weekend. It really was for the Orioles, you know, with the draft, you know, like I said, Gunnar Henderson in the futures game, team playing relevant baseball down in St. Petersburg. DL Hall absolutely shoves at Triple A Norfolk on Sunday afternoon, looked again like someone who's ready for a call up. So yeah, there's a lot to be excited about. Jorge Lopez, we already talked about that story. We're going to see him in, at Dodger Stadium. Maybe he gets in the game, but at the very least, we know his story with his son and being
nasty
able to share with that.
To Baltimore.
Yeah, so there's some fun stuff. And then on the back end of this next week, the Ravens will be in Owings Mills, and we'll be talking about what's going on in the backfields and a team that, you know, I have very high hopes for. You know, some questions, but certainly a lot of optimism, in a team that I think, you know, along with Cincinnati, going to be fighting it out for the AFC North Championship. So it's fun. It's fun to be talking about both teams at the same time with, you know, some relevancy. Are the Orioles going to be in the wild card race come September? A lot has to happen for that to, you know, for that to continue to go well, and, you know, going to be, have to be lucky and see what happens with some of these other teams. But it's progress. It's real progress. And I think it's continuing to ascend, and hopefully the players they draft over these next few days will continue that in the future. You know, the idea is to build this and then sustain it. You know, they built something with Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter, and give Andy McPhail the nod for the beginning of that, but they weren't able to sustain that. Now you're hoping that they build something and they can sustain it, so they're not in a position where they're, you know, losing 108 plus games 3 out of 4 years and all of that. So we'll see how it plays out. But in the meantime, it's fun at a normally slow time on the sports calendar. And it's a slow time, generally speaking, but talking about, you know, some fun baseball and then bridging that gap to the Ravens showing up in Owings Mills and starting to get going for training camp. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely been an enjoyable summer in that regard that we haven't enjoyed here in recent years.
Yeah. So I was on my timeline the other night, on my Facebook timeline, my cousin from San Diego, my cousin Larissa, she was at the Padres game with her daughters.
Nice.
And you know, they were, and I looked out in the field, I'm like, who are they playing? They look like they're wearing their pajamas. Kind of looked like me in this Window Nation shirt. It was kind of like an oiler blue. And I'm like, the Diamondbacks, what are they wearing? But I'm looking at all this and I'm thinking, she's with Manny Machado. And I'm thinking, we're with Dean Kramer, you know? So I think back to the Dan Duquette era, and that you've doffed your cap to him. Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke, and Luke at WNST.net. You'll find him along with Nasty Nestor and the Yankees at Oriole Park at Camden Yards through the weekend. We got All-Star Game. We'll be tweeting and talking and getting through the election. We have the election this week, so a lot of things going on. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. It says show me $10,000. I'm going to show everybody Maryland for the next 31 days. 31 crab cakes, 31 days, 31 breweries, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, our friends at Goodwill, and the Restaurant Association of Maryland, reminding you to support local and eat local. I do it all the time myself. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, waiting on the election, waiting on Lamar, waiting on baseball in the second half. Good times around here. At least we got some fresh peaches at Wise Markets. We are BaltimorePositive.com.